He really cares. Amen. That was our Savior she was singing of. And if you want to know who he cared about so much, you're looking at him. It's wonderful to be loved with the Savior. It's wonderful to be saved. I'm glad that you're here today. I think we have some things to say that'll bless your heart. Some things that'll, if you'll just put them back there, they'll just continue popping up in your life and be a continual blessing to you. But it's so important that you listen to everything that's said this morning. Now, I'll tell you, I'm a country preacher. Is there any way that all of y'all could move back to the last two rows of seats? It looks so it's unusual seeing everything packed and jammed like this, and this is real good. That's an old line. I've used that before. You remember that? Amen? All right. That's why. Smart Alec, put your hand down. All right. But I'm just an old country preacher, not much of anything. And it's a privilege to be here. I'm a member of this church, and to be asked to speak, well, that's very exciting to me, and I'm thrilled. I sort of feel like the old farmer that had a mule and went up to enter it into the Kentucky Derby. And they said, "Sir, that old mule can't run with these thoroughbreds we have." But the old farmer said, "Yeah, I know, but I love this old mule, and it'll give us a lot to talk about on down the line." So I feel like I'm in the Kentucky Derby with these fellows here. I'm the mule. And I thank God for these men on the staff. We pray for them. I enjoyed the message Wednesday night, and it was a blessing. Now, I'm going to continue on with that. I found it in the sword of the Lord, and so I'm going to... And let me tell you something, if it's not the sword of the Lord, or John Rice didn't preach it, or Dr. Hyde, somebody, I don't fool with it. I'll be very honest. I heard about some paratroopers I heard about a couple of paratroopers that wanted to impress a young lady, and she liked dogs. And she had a show dog she was always putting in, and the dog shows, and these two paratroopers, they bought an old crippled greyhound dog, and they wanted to impress her and show their dog. And one of them says, "Don't you think this old greyhound we got here, said, don't you think we ought to have a picture of a bus painted on both sides of it?" Our Father, we've come this morning to have you speak to us. We need a blessing. And dear Holy Spirit, if you don't speak and you don't bless, we'll not be blessed today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Bible says in the 7th verse of the 16th chapter of Mark, "But go your way and tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee, there shall you see him." The Bible says in Matthew 4:4, don't turn, just listen to me. The Bible says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The Bible also says that every jot and every tittle is there for a purpose. Oh, God says, I dotted every I and I crossed every T for a purpose. That means that every word we read in here is to say something to us. And in this text verse this morning, there's something there that we need to get a hold of. And it's these words right here. I think probably the sweetest words, and they have comforted my heart many times. And it says, the angel, of course, said to Mary Magdalene and those other ladies there, "But go your way and tell his disciples and Peter." Tell old Peter. Peter, at one time, was the best Christian that the Lord Jesus had. I believe that with all my heart. Much has been said about how he was loud-mouthed and always speaking when he ought to have been quiet, and when he was pulling out his sword to cut somebody's ear off. In fact, too much has been said about all that business. But Peter was a great Christian. Now, all of the apostles and the disciples, anytime you find their names written down, you'll always see it found it started off with Peter, the inner circle, Peter, James, and John. Oh, he headed up those lists all the time. So he was a very, very special fellow. Some have said that he was probably one of the top three Christians in the Bible. Wonderful, a wonderful, wonderful man. But now this scripture that we're reading about tells us of a Peter that's had some problems. A disciple, one of the inner circle, one that God had depended on for 3.5 years. And now we find he's backslidden, he's in difficulties. And, oh, I'm so impressed with this. The angel said to the ladies there, says, now when you go tell his disciples that I'm risen from the dead, be sure that you go find Peter and tell him that I'm risen from the dead too, and I'm going to meet him out there. The last time Jesus saw Simon Peter, Simon Peter had said, I don't know this fella. Well, aren't you one of them, one of his fellows? You're a Southerner and you speak with that accent. And I'd recognize you anywhere. And he said, well, I may be a Southerner, but I don't know that crowd. I had nothing to do with that Jesus of Nazareth. I know nothing of him. And he used profanity and he swore and he cursed our Savior. We're talking about a man that Jesus many times had called upon in the past. He said, Jesus said, who am I? Who do the Son of Man say that I am? And old Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. We're talking about a fellow that was a real fundamentalist. We're talking about a fellow that the Holy Spirit spoke to. We're talking about a fellow that knew something. And Jesus said to old Simon Peter, yeah, old Simon Peter, he said, Simon Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. An outstanding Christian man, an outstanding soul winner. On the Mount of Transfiguration, the folks that Jesus took up there with him, come on, Peter, James, John, come on, let's go up here. And Simon Peter saw the Lord Jesus glorified, or in his transfigured into the glorified body that he will have when he descends to rapture the church, or to call us old, and when he comes to hiss for us and we'll go to be to him with him. Old Simon Peter was right there. He's right in the middle of everything going on. He was at the forefront of it. Anything going on, he was there. And so, an outstanding individual. Jesus said, "You're the rock." In fact, I have an idea they called him Rocky. Now, this is Ferniology, okay? I think they might have called him Rocky. When Jesus was walking on the sea, and he came up to the ship, and Simon said, I believe that's Jesus out there. Lord, if that's you, let me come on out there. And he said, okay, Rocky, come on. And old Rocky hit the water and started toward the Savior. And old Doubting Thomas said, look out, Rocky, there comes a big wave. I believe that's what happened. And old Rocky again turned, but walking on the water. I'll tell you, he loved the Savior. He was a dedicated man. He was a man that loved the Savior. And he said, listen, if all these folk deny you, I won't. I'll lay down my life. And he meant business, just like many of you here today in the past have meant business about this business of serving the Savior. You trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord, and you loved Him and you served Him faithfully through the years. But now there's come a time when things aren't just like they used to be in your life. No longer is there that closeness, and no longer do you feel the fellowship that you once knew and once loved. And you say, "What's the use?" And you're ready to throw up your hands and just quit. And you say, "Oh my soul, there's no hope for a fellow like me." Let me tell you something this morning. This great one that we're talking about, Simon Peter, this great one turned his back on the Savior. and cursed and was profaned with the name of the Savior. And said, I don't know that rascal, don't want to have anything to do with him. Started running with the wrong crowd again, warmed by the devil's fires. Then he looked and saw the pain in the Savior's face. The Savior said, you'll deny me? And he saw the pain in the Savior's face, and the Bible says he went out and wept bitterly. How many of us here today have failed in a similar way? And now we've gotten to the point where we say, oh my soul, what's the use? I try so hard and I endeavor to accomplish things and I want to do what's right and I fall. And oh, but there was a time when I just kept on going. There was a time when I got things done. And there was a time when I would lead folks to Jesus Christ and get them down the aisle and get them into the baptistry. And all the joy that I knew. But now it's a time of weeping. Things aren't like they once were. Now I want you to follow me carefully. I want you to understand just a little bit of the love of the Savior for us today. The wonderful song that was sung just before the preaching. The wonderful song, oh, he did that for me. Oh, he did that for me. That's not the words, but that's what it said to me. He did that for me. That was, he took my pain and my sin and my punishment all on him. That should have been me on that cross. That should have been you on that cross. And he loved me, so he took my place. And they smacked him and they beat him till his back looked like a piece of beef steak and nailed him to an old rugged cross. The Bible said that they mauled him. That it was impossible to recognize him as a human being. That's what the Word of God says. And he did it for me. And he did it for old Simon Peter too. And since Simon Peter had run away and left the disciples and gone, well, he couldn't run with the old gang anymore because the old gang wouldn't have nothing to do with him. You know how that goes, don't you? Yeah, you get saved. The old crowd, yeah, I heard you got religion. I wanted to backslide a minute and whip about three of them when they told me that. The old guys I love, they didn't care much for me anymore. Because now you got religion. You've trusted Christ. You're a new creature. I didn't want to do the things that I once did. I was a new man. Something had happened. The blood of Christ cleanses us from how much sin? All sin. That had happened to me. And I was thrilled. And the old gang would have nothing to do with me. And I had to find some new friends. Guess where I found them? At the church. Amen. That's where I found them. But now wait a minute. Simon Peter's got a little bit of a problem. You know how we Christians, boy, I'll tell you, we're the only army, the Christian army, the only army in the world that shoots its wounded. That's right. You let somebody falter in our church. You let somebody have a problem. And you look down your ecclesiastical nose at them. And you say, that dirty bricker-bracker. That sorry rascal. I didn't think they'd last very long anyway. Now old Simon Peter got a problem. He can't go back to the old gang. He can't even associate with the disciples. Because he has done some terrible sins. And has wronged the Savior. But did you notice what the Savior said? Tell the disciples and Peter, I still love him. Tell old Peter his sins are gone. Tell old Peter I care. And I want you to know this morning, whatever your spiritual state may be, that he cares for you. He loves you. Oh, many, many times we do things. We cheat, we lie, we cheat on our income tax. I should have said that, should I? Did you hear about the fellow that... boy, I'm going to get shot, sure as a word. This fellow said, I haven't been able to sleep. I'm a Christian. I haven't been able to sleep. Wrote this letter to the Internal Revenue. haven't been able to sleep a wink since I filled in my forms and all that. And here, this is anonymous letter. Please take this cash money, and that's money that I've cheated you out of. And if I still can't sleep, I'll send you the rest of it. And I, when I start talking about taxes, I automatically feel guilty about everything, don't you? But listen, folks. We do little things, and it's the little things that we do that rob us of joy. And after a while, we get despondent, and we get away from the sweet fellowship in Christ, and the devil wins a victory, and he tells us, hey, you're not where you once were. You're a low-down, dirty rascal, and you're not worthy. Well, the truth of the matter is, we're not worthy. But in Christ Jesus, we're worthy. And old Simon had forgotten that. Maybe didn't know it. I told my Sunday school class this morning that the Lord Jesus had been waiting. The Heavenly Father, the Holy Spirit, had been waiting all night just for that Sunday school class to get together and spend a few minutes in prayer with Him. We're loved. There's never a moment of the night or day that we're out of His tender sight and care. And I've said this a dozen times. I was talking to a lady. She said, my husband's in the hospital and he's dying of cancer. Would you go visit him? And I said, yes, I will. And I went to see him this past week. And she called me and thanked me for going. And I told that lady, I said, let me tell you something. Oh, if we only knew how we're loved by the Savior. He fusses more over us than a mama does a sick baby. A mama will set up and nurture and care for and rock all night long. How many times have our old mamas rocked us? I remember being rocked in an old rocking chair and mama singing, bow, baby, baby, bye, late into the night. And I was sick. I remember mama doing those things. But I want you to know today, you that know Jesus Christ as your Savior and are having some difficulties and some sin has crept into your life and you've drifted away from the place that you were just maybe recently or some time ago, I want you to know this morning that He says to you, as He said to Peter, I still love you. I still care. I'm interested in everything that you do. My thoughts are as the sands of the sea of you. Now, brother, that means something to me when he said, oh, yeah. And tell Peter. Go tell my disciples. I don't know where Peter is. Well, Lord, we don't know where he is. He hadn't been around the church since he blew it. We haven't seen him lately. He doesn't come anymore. Well, you find him. And you know, that's something we need to do. Bless God, if you're born again and you're having sweet fellowship with the Savior and you know somebody that's having some difficulty spiritually, a member of this church, then you ought to go and be lovingly and tender and compassionate to them and woo them and do everything you can to help them, bring them back, make them understand that they are loved. But we forget so quickly that we're even loved. All night long last night, I was watched over by the Savior. All night long, I sound asleep. He's watching over me. He said, that's old Dave. I redeemed him. Dave had a pack of sins, and he piled them all on me at Calvary. And he says, oh boy, not much, old little old country preacher. But oh, how I love David. We sing the song, oh, how I love Jesus. And they sing in heaven, oh, how I love David. Oh, how I love Bill. Oh, how I love John. Our Heavenly Father loves us. That you get word to Peter. Be sure that you tell the disciples and Peter. The last thing Jesus had seen Simon Peter do was to curse him. The last thing he had seen him do was to lie. The last thing the Savior saw His servant do was to deny Him. And then the angel said, oh yeah, here's the message from the Lord. tell the disciples and Peter, I still love him. I still care. Oh, my backslidden, lying, cursing. Now we find that he said, go find him. Get this information to him. Let him understand these things. And that's what I'm saying to you this morning. Listen, stop for a minute and realize your love for the Savior. I don't know what your condition is this morning, but you are loved. Look at Calvary if you doubt me. Your love for the Savior. You're important to him. You're always in his thoughts. You're always in his heart. Do you ever wonder why we had the verse of scripture in there? It says the parable about the shepherd leaving the 99 and going out after the what? The one lost sheep. The backslidden one. Not the one that was lost. Certainly we ought to go soul winning. Ought to do that. We ought to all be soul winners. Ought to do that. But it's talking about the one that's having the difficulty. And boy, I'll tell you very quickly, we'll shoot one down very quickly in the church today if somebody comes in and has a little difficulty and do something wrong and we find out about it. We say that sorry rascal, that boy, we just have a fit about it. That's not right. He said, go get old Simon, make sure that he understands that I love him. Now, God loves all that have drifted away, that have wandered away, that do not somehow, are not able somehow to stand up under peer pressure, stand up under some of the things the old first sergeant and the sergeant major says, and some of the things that the husband says in the home, and the first thing you know, after a while, you're just down. You're feel away from God and just not able to make it. And then sin comes into the situation. And you say, my soul. God says, tell all the folks at Berean Baptist Church, I love them. But especially the ones that are having the burdens. Especially the ones that have drifted away. Especially the ones that have fallen. Especially the ones that are lonely. Folks, now that's something right there. We have people right here this morning that are lonely. I want to tell you, lonely person, you're loved. The Heavenly Father loves you. The Savior died for you. You've trusted Him. Have fellowship with Him. Have a sweetness and a closeness with Him. There's no need for you to be lonely. None whatsoever. And God cares for us each individually. I think I've probably said enough about that. God loves me. God cares for me. God loves you. God cares for you. He knows our heartaches. He knows our burdens. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our pains. Now let me describe something to you. Noah building the ark. I'm not going to tell you I might give you a little phrenology. I might throw some in there. But the Lord told Noah to build an ark. And he told him how big to make it. He said, I'm going to send a flood. And Noah said, what's that? Well, never mind that. I'm going to send one. It's going to rain. And when the floods come and the rain, I'm going to destroy the world. I want you to build an ark for the saving of yourselves, your family. And by the way, all those that will come inside of that ark, all of those that will come inside that ark will be saved too. Now, if I can really stretch your imagination and really get into some phrenology, it took 120 years for old Noah to build the ark. And during that time, he became the laughing stock of the community. Out in the desert, Noah go out and say, it's going to rain! And it had never rained. And the Chamber of Commerce, of course, they were delighted. Their business was going good. Old crazy Noah, he was referred to. Out on the backside of the desert, out there building a great big ship. And it had never rained, not anywhere near water. All right, so One day the paper came out and the paper said, 7 more days and Noah has announced that it's going to rain and he's going to leave. And the children found out about it and said, Daddy, that's next Sunday. Can we go out there and see this nut? Can we go out there? Can we, Daddy? Can we, Daddy? Of course, you folks don't have any problem with anything like that. I know that. But Pastor, he said, well, do your homework, mind your mama, and we'll go out there next Sunday if y'all behave yourself. Next Sunday, the cars were lined up bumper to bumper going out to see Crazy Noah. Bumper to bumper. They got out there, and there were Ferris wheels, merry-go-round, cotton candy. Boy, they just had a big time. The bands were playing. I want to know, did you ever see the rain? I mean, they were having just a circus atmosphere around there. And then one came to the door of Noah and said, hey, won't you come on in the ark? Won't you come in? It's going to start raining in a minute. And you're going to be lost forever. Won't you come inside the ark? They said, oh, Crazy Noah there. They enjoy eating them apples and all that business. You know, there were some there that wanted to go in. Some said, there may be something to this. Some said, you know, there just might be something to that. And they wanted to go in, but they were afraid somebody would say something about it. And they said they decided not to do that. And they said, no, we'll just stay out. And the Lord said to Noah, get back out of the door, boy. And he closed the door and sealed it. And the rains began to fall and judgment began to fall and the waters began to get deeper and deeper. The bands that were playing steppy music a few minutes ago became silent. The rains began to fall and they ran down to the ark and began to beat on the wall and said, oh, we won't in, we won't in, we won't in, we won't in. But it was too late. You know, I've thought a lot about that. I believe that Noah hired local carpenters out of the Carpenters Union and steam fitters and all those fellows. I know something about those things. And I believe he hired them all out of the different locals and unions and they worked on this ark and built it. And they must have laughed for 120 years while they were building it. And then they sat out there on the hillside and watched that thing lift off. The very thing that they'd worked on, the very thing that they had built over the years, the very thing that could have saved them, they let it float off and didn't believe and died. Now, wait a minute, what are you saying? I'm saying to you this morning here that you don't know Jesus as your Savior. You're not saved. I'm saying how foolish it is for you when the preached word is preached, and you know that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you, and you know that He loved you and He died in your place, and you know that you must come and trust Him as your Savior or be eternally lost and damned and condemned in hell forever. Don't you be this morning like those folks were. If you're lost this morning on the invitation, you come down this aisle. If you're here this morning and you're away from the fellowship and close fellowship and harmony of the Savior, and you're born again, you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you've done these things, but yet you don't have that close fellowship. You've done some rotten things. You've had a few beers since you've been saved. You've done some other things. You've gone places you shouldn't have gone. That would be your name there. Oh yes, Jesus said to the angel, Be sure that you tell my disciples that I'm risen and that I'll be in Galilee. Be sure to tell my disciples. And Peter! Oh, buddy, I'm telling you this morning. God loves you. If you're involved in some sin you shouldn't be involved in, God loves you. If you're away from Him this morning and your fellowship is strained, God loves you. He cares more for you than your mama, your dad ever cared for. Even in a backslidden condition, you're still loved. Well, this morning, let me encourage you. Why don't you, Christian, say, I've got some things in my life and it's not right. And I'm away from the Savior, the one that loved me. But I've got to make it right today. We don't want to hear all about what you've been involved in. That's between you and God. But He loves you, and He said, listen, it's forgiven and it's forgotten. Oh, won't you come back? Can't we have that sweet fellowship that we once had, that we once knew? Can't we do that? That's the way He wants it. And I'm here to tell you this morning that He loves you. Dear Christian brother, sister, I'm here this morning to tell you that you don't get so far down that He doesn't love you, that He doesn't reach right on down there. You must make an effort, though. You must come this morning. Say, I want to be restored to the full joy and fellowship of the Lord. I want to do that. And you that are not saved this morning, you've thought about it. Maybe somebody's told you about it. It's high time you trusted Jesus as your Savior. You know what the Bible has to say? The Bible says that all have sinned. That's all of us. That's all. That's everybody. There's no high mucky buck, somebody low down. No. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous. No, not one. The wages of sin is death. That means eternal separation from God. The wages. We all like payday, don't we? Wages. God says the payday for being a sinner is hell. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It means to come to Him. I was a grown man when I heard the precious story that the Savior loved me. I had always been told, I was raised in another church. I'd always been told He's something like a bear. And He said up there, I thought He was a retired paratrooper or something. I was that. Set up there with a club in his hand. You get the least bit out of the line, he'd knock the stuff out. And then one day he'd weigh your good against your bad, and if your bad outweighs your good, you'd slip in. You know what I'm talking about. Many of you were taught the same thing. And one day as a grown man, a married man, I was asked by a Christian young man to go to church, and I came to the church and I heard the plan of salvation, and I said, that's for me. I want to trust Christ. I don't want to be outside the ark. The ark is a type of Christ. And many this morning are outside of the ark of safety. I'm inviting you to come into the ark. I'm inviting you this morning to come and trust Christ as your Savior and have forgiveness of sin. By the way, all your sins have already been paid for. All nailed to Him. Let me tell you, I've got about another hour and 15 minutes. Oh, hush. Our blessed Savior. Now listen to me carefully. Mauled as He was, beaten as He was, prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's for the ones that were crucifying Him and all that business. That's for the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes that were there. On down the line to our day as well. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now you listen to this carefully. Every sin that you ever committed, every sin that I have ever committed or will commit, were placed on our Savior on the cross. And He cried, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? And the Heavenly Father did not respond. Why? Because He became sin who knew no sin. Your sin, my sin were on Him. And the Heavenly Father turned His back on His own Son. That should have been us. He was turning His back on. But He said, no, I'll turn my back on my own Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. I've trusted Him as my Savior. Now I'll tell you something. You trust Jesus and He'll change your life. I got saved as a grown man, and within 3 days I'd lost 2/3 of my vocabulary. I couldn't even talk anymore. I knew something wonderful had happened to me, and I didn't know how to explain it. They didn't tell us anything about soul winning. And something wonderful. And I went to a buddy of mine, and I said, "Hey, listen, you've got to listen to me for a minute." And he said, "All right, start talking." And I said, I didn't know what to say to him. I said, "Guess what?" He said, "What?" I said, "I joined the church." He said, "Well, what's to do about that? Don't you belong to all of them anyway?" I didn't know how to tell him about the Savior. I didn't understand it, as many of you do, and never tell anybody about it. I didn't know how to explain it to him. But you know what I did? I ran in the house and I got a Bible. You ask my wife. I got a great big Bible, twice as thick as this one. I ran outside and I said, "Oh, listen, here's what happened to me. Read that." We'd have still been there. He was a slow reader. He opened it up. And it says, "Whosoever shall call a man and brother of fools in danger of hell fire." And he looked at me and he said, "Guess what?" He said, "I'm going to hell." I said, "You are? What'd you read?" And he told me. You know what that guy's ever other word was? "Why, that's the biggest fool you ever saw in your life." He called everybody a fool. Everybody was a fool. Everything was foolish. And he read one verse of scripture when a born-again believer didn't know beans about this old book. Said, "Read it down," and the Holy Spirit caused him to open it and read the very verse he needed. And he got saved.
Amen.
I said, "I don't know what to tell you, brother, but my preacher does. Let's go." And I took it. And his wife got saved. And his youngins got saved. Oh, he's a wonderful, wonderful Heavenly Father. Now, he'll do all of this because we're his children in Christ Jesus. When we trust him as our Savior, he opens up the things we don't understand and he gives us enlightenment. And once things that once were hard to understand become just very easily understood by the weakest of us. What do you say? Why don't you forget about everything you've ever been taught? If you're here this morning and you haven't trusted Jesus as your Savior, let me tell you, maybe you did it just unaware, or maybe you didn't know some of the things that you've heard this morning, but let me tell you that you're outside, and outside is damnation. Oh, you must come to the Savior. It's those that come to Christ in simple childlike faith and say, "Oh Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner, and save me for Jesus' sake." And bless God, he take you home. Hey, I don't know if anybody's ever turned away yet. Not any. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now, if you're here this morning, you're not saved, you need to get saved. We have folks here that know how to very quickly show you what you must do to be saved. They're willing, wonderful people, and they want to do this. And on the invitation this morning, you come, and they'll take the Word of God and very easily and quickly show you how what you must do to be saved, how to trust Jesus. They'll show you that. Because the Savior loves you. He died in your place. It was for me he died on Calvary. It was for you he shed his precious blood. That was the one who had been offended by sin. And the offended died for the offender. He died in our place. Trust him today. And you that are not in sweet fellowship with him. Brother, it's easy to get there. You put this old book aside and you miss it a few days not read it. You don't spend a little time with him a few days. By the way, you don't spend a little time with him in prayer after a few days. You're not interested in doing much praying because you you know that you're wrong. You ought to be in the book. And you haven't been faithful to church, the first thing falls off. You're not here on Wednesday night. The next thing you're not here on Sunday night. The next thing you're not here on Sunday morning. That's what old Peter did. Peter had done great things for the Savior. But he'd gotten away. And the Savior said, tell my disciples and Peter. And this morning he's saying to you, I'm speaking to you. I love you. I care for you individually. All your sin are forgiven and forgotten. But something has, our fellowship has been severed. Not our relationship, you're still a child of God, but the fellowship has been severed. And the devil talks to you now and says you're not worth a dime for anything. And you say amen to everything the devil says. Get right with God this morning. Come down and say, Lord, I come. Shall we stand, please?